Your Bibles, please, Genesis chapter 47 to start. We'll be in this passage. Every year when I read through my Bible, I come to these verses and it causes me to pause and to think about what Jacob says to Pharaoh. This is just going to be our launching verse. This is not an expository message this morning. This is more topical. If you've looked at the title of the message, it is this: Growing Old Gracefully. I'm just kind of curious, how many of you have ever thought, you know, when I get older, I want to grow old gracefully? I know you don't want to grow old, but do you want to grow old gracefully? We just sang about grace, wonderful grace of Jesus. Let me start by saying this. If you don't know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you will not grow old gracefully. It's impossible. You can't. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater far than all my sin and shame, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Has to do with his grace. Grace is when you get something you don't deserve. Christmas time, you may have received a gift from your parents or from somebody else, and you say, wow, I must really be something. No, if it's a gift, it's given to you as a gift. Something you're given because you don't deserve it. All of us have the potential, we've all received from God things that we don't deserve. The fact that you are alive right now is due to his grace and his mercy. Amen. But when you get saved, that's the grace of Jesus Christ, because you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Because of my sin, I deserve hell, and so do you. As recipients of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we get what we don't deserve. Jacob has come down to Egypt. I am assuming you know the story that takes place prior to this in the book of Genesis, where Joseph has gone into the land of Egypt. He's imprisoned. He's abused. And finally, he becomes basically what we would call the vice president of Egypt by God's grace. He calls for his father up in the land of Canaan and his brothers to move into the northern part of Egypt, into the land of Goshen. And Joseph brings his father Jacob to meet Pharaoh. So here in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 7, the Bible says, Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the years of the years, unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers, in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Note that Jacob described the years of his life as few. What? 130 years old, and he describes the days of his years as few? Folks, even at 130, you realize that life is short. But he's comparing the days of his years to his father's. Abraham died at 175. He's 130. Isaac, his father, died at 180. He's 130. Jacob actually lives to be 147. We know from the Bible in verse 28 of the same chapter that he lives to the age of 147. So 17 years beyond this time when he stands before Pharaoh. But he also describes the years of his life as what else? Evil. This doesn't mean that they were wicked. The word evil used here in its context has to do with difficult, unpleasant. Now, if you know the life of Jacob, you're going to understand what he means. His time with Laban, how he got his wife, later his wives. Having two wives, that's difficult. That can be unpleasant. Why? Well, two wives fight, come on. And that's what they were doing. Rachel and Leah are constantly fighting. Talk about unpleasant. Then he has 12 sons, and the 12 sons don't get along. The 12 sons, the 11 take one of them. I should say 10 of them take one of them, throw them into a pit, sell them to some Midianite traders. They take them into Egypt. Jacob is caused to believe that his son is gone. He's been killed. And he mourns. Now he comes back into Egypt and he sees his son Joseph, whom he thought was dead. How else would you describe your life but unpleasant, difficult? But as I mentioned before, he is to live 17 years longer. By the way, how old was Joseph when his brothers threw him into the pit? 17. God gives to Jacob at the end of his life, the 17 years, to know his son Joseph as the vice president of the land of Egypt, basically. That's God's grace. God giving to him something he does not deserve. And so you'll notice, too, in verse 11 of chapter 48, Jacob expresses to Joseph, "I didn't expect to see your face, and now I see your children." Wow, God is good. And you'll notice in verse 10 of chapter 47 that Jacob blesses Pharaoh, not the other way around. You would think that the superior, as far as position, Pharaoh would be blessing Jacob. No, Jacob is blessing Pharaoh. Who's the oldest? By far, Jacob is the oldest. And so as I've studied this and as I've contemplated these verses, I've realized that older folks have the opportunity to bless the younger and to be a blessing. Lord willing, I will turn 65 this year. Now, ladies, I announced my age, so you need to be able to announce yours too. But here's the fact, I'm only turning 1 year older than last year. And guess what? You will too. You will too. Lord willing, you will. Lord willing, I will. As long as I am physically capable, I do not want to retire from what God has called me to do. And that is to preach, to be a witness, to glorify Him. And that is something you should never, ever retire from. Where I preach may have to change. How I preach may also have to change. In other words, would it be as a pastor? I don't know. How much I preach may have to change. All of us, Lord willing, will live to old age. Many already have. Now, old is relative. All of us have difficulty, but difficulty does not have to be the main descriptor as it was with Jacob. Can you imagine going before somebody saying, "Man, the years of my life have been horrible. It's been, man, it's horrible." All of us, Lord willing, will want to live to old age. I hear older people say this to younger people, "Don't grow old." Well, what's the alternative? Folks, I know what you mean when you say that, because yes, when you get old, it's hard, it's painful, it's frustrating, and sometimes it's downright miserable. Yet hearing that is not encouraging, and it is not edifying. Listen, if I were to take to my heart the moans and the groans of people who complain about old age, I'd want to die young. You know what? You're not growing old gracefully. if you're constantly complaining about old age. You know something? God uses old people. You ever heard of a man by the name of Abraham? At age 100, he finally has the son of promise, Isaac. Moses. Age 40, he's fled to Midian. For 40 years, he's keeping sheep. And at age 80, God calls him to go back into the land of Egypt and bring his people out. 80 years old. Caleb was 85. When finally he came into the land of Canaan and he said, you know what, I'm just as able today as I was back then. And I think there's a reason for that. Caleb lived for God. And I believe that when a man lives for God, God will continue to use him if that man has allowed God to use him as a young person. Barzillai. Well, who's Barzillai? Barzillai is the one who sustained King David when he was running from Absalom. At 80 years of age. Seems like 80 kind of seems to be the magic number here. The prophetess Anna, remember this a couple of weeks ago as we were looking in the book of Luke, there in the temple, was at least 84 years old. She could have been in her 100, near over 100, when she witnessed the presence of the infant baby, Jesus, there in the temple. And you read in the Bible, continuously, repeatedly, the word elder, elder, elder. You have the elders of Israel. You have the elders of the church. You have elders. Many times it simply means those who are older than you. My point is everyone's growing old. Yes, you too, Mila. Adam and Michael, you're growing old. You say, you look at these guys, you go, no, they're not. They are now growing at the same pace as all of us. Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And they're back in a Salgado row. Same thing. Gavina, Maryland, same thing. Gio's going to do so Saturday, but you know, every day you're growing older. Everyone's growing old. The question is this, are you doing so gracefully? What does it mean to grow old gracefully? People, when they say, well, I want to grow old gracefully, usually refers to physical appearance. In other words, they don't want to look as old as they are. You know, the thing that older people like to do, including myself, is to say, so how old do you think I am? And you're hoping people will honestly give a younger age. So some revert to plastic surgery, Botox, stretching the skin, growing old gracefully artificially. Well, folks, you cannot do that spiritually. And by now, I think you understand that what I'm talking about this morning, when I say grow old gracefully, doesn't that have to do with the physical? It has to do with the spiritual. But let me just posit something. Those who grow old gracefully spiritually are often the ones who grow old gracefully physically. Because sin takes away from us physically. There's no such thing as an artificial treatment to grow old gracefully so that in your older days you are full of grace. To grow old gracefully requires a spiritual component. Frequent, prayerful, severe spiritual surgery. If you're going to have surgery. Nancy Pelosi has it physically. But she is not a graceful lady. Frequent, prayerful, severe spiritual surgery. You know, see, Jesus once said, if your right eye offends you, what are you supposed to do? That's spiritual surgery. He's not telling you literally to take something and cut your eye out. He is saying you need to perform some spiritual surgery. And folks, this is what all of us need from time to time. All of us. Severe spiritual surgery. He also said if your right hand offends you, do what? Cut it off. He's not meaning you literally go take an axe and cut your hand off. He is saying you are going to have to perform some spiritual surgery that is very serious from time to time. And it's when you're willing to do that that you literally do grow old gracefully. When you cut out of your life the things that don't belong there. So this morning, I just want to talk about, give to you, two evidences that you are growing old gracefully. Because you're all saying, well, I'm growing old gracefully. Would everybody else say that about you? And I'm not talking about your appearance. At least not physically, but I am talking about your appearance as to how you come across to other people. Two evidences that you're growing old gracefully. Here's the first one. You desire to grow. Now, that should get your attention. What do you mean you should desire to grow? Notice I didn't say you desire to grow old. You desire to grow. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, a verse I've preached on many times that we need to be reminded of. I'm saying, here's an evidence that you are growing old gracefully when you desire to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow. Oh, there it is. There's a command. There's an imperative. For every believer, it says, but grow. You need to grow. The word means to advance, to increase. It's the same word used in John 3:30, where John the Baptist says of Jesus, he must increase. Literally, he must grow. If we use the same word that Peter's using here, Jesus must grow. He must increase, but I must. What's the word? I must decrease. As I decrease in my own eyes, Jesus should be increasing in my eyes. He should be the one growing, advancing in my life. The first evidence you are growing old gracefully is that you desire to grow. Growth is always evident by change taking place. People will see change. And Peter here talks about two areas. First of all, he says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. What does growing in grace look like? Well, some think it means you grow soft. You lose the fight in you. You lose the militant stand that you're supposed to take as a Christian. You start pandering to people. That's not what it means to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. It's a command. And if you have been growing in grace all of your Christian life like you are commanded to, you will be, listen to me, full of grace when you're old. I mean, it makes sense. If you're growing in grace all your life, you should be full of grace. But there's no guarantee that you will automatically walk with the Lord just because you did so when you were young. I read about a man in the Bible, one of the wisest men who ever lived, who as a young man was so wise. He walked with the Lord. The Lord was close to him. But when he got old, Solomon turned, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. It specifically says when he was old in 1 Kings chapter 11. When he was old, his wives turned his heart away. So just because you're an older person, there does not guarantee that you're going to be walking with the Lord all the time. Why? Because growing in grace, the command, never expires. And when you think that growing in grace no longer applies to you, you are a candidate for what Solomon did. You must grow in grace daily. So in 2023, you had better be growing in grace. Because the only alternative to growing in grace is decreasing in grace or stopping growing. And that never happens in a Christian's life. I believe that somebody who is full of grace will be like Jesus Christ. Because as we learned that verse, remember the verse, one of the verses we had all the month of December, one of them was God was manifest in the flesh. The other one was John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was as far as we went. But if you finish the verse, it talks about that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. You look at the life of Jesus Christ, he was full of grace. What does that mean? What does that mean for you? Well, if you look up synonyms for the word grace, and this is in a Greek lexicon, favor, grateful, gracious. One who is full of grace, and I'm going to focus on one word, will be gracious. When you meet somebody who you would describe as gracious, how would you describe that person? How would you describe the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a gracious man? Here are some synonyms of the word gracious: kind, polite, tactful, courteous, well-mannered, elegant. Does that describe you? If not, you've got some growing to do. I like that word elegance. It's defined as refinement, grace, and beauty in movement, appearance, or manners. Elegant. I look at that word and I think, you know what? A Christian should be elegant, refined. We typically think, well, that has to do with what kind of, you know, that your tie matches what you're wearing and everything looks, and you're elegant. No, I'm not talking about dress. I think it will affect your dress. But somebody who is growing in grace, somebody who is growing and becoming more and more gracious, yes, they are clean and neat in appearance and in their clothing. Their personal grooming shows that they are refined and elegant. I hope this doesn't turn anybody off or make you go, oh man, I can't believe he's saying that. But you know what old men get? They get bushes growing out of their nose. Cut it. Why do we have to look at those nose hairs that are growing longer than your beard or your mustache? Cut the ears, you know, bushes coming out of the ears and so forth. That's not elegant. That's not refined. It takes a lot of work. I know. It takes work. Why is it in old age, guys just kind of let it go? They don't comb their hair if they have it. They just kind of let things go. They're not growing old. They're not growing old gracefully. I'm talking about the physical part now. You're refined in speech. You don't interrupt other people when they're in a conversation. You don't try to finish other people's sentences. You don't use profanity. You don't speak your mind. It's interesting, as people get older, they go, wow, she really speaks her mind, and they talk about that favorably. That is not favorable. Ephesians 4:29, Paul talks about ministering grace to the hearers. Somebody defined tact as the ability to shut your mouth before someone else wants to. Somebody else said, nothing is opened by mistake more than the mouth. Growth and increasing in grace is becoming more like the one who is full of grace. Who is that? Jesus Christ. As long as you are alive, I'm talking to the young people, I'm talking about the middle-aged people, I'm talking about the elderly. As long as you are alive, you are to be growing in grace. Or it wouldn't be commanded for every believer. Gracious people are friendly. Gracious people know how to smile. Gracious people know how to say hello when they are told hello. Graciousness. And this kind of growth is not natural. You say, well, as I grow older as a Christian, this is going to automatically happen. No, it won't. That's why, are you there in 2 Peter? Go to 1 Peter. Growth as a Christian actually goes against nature. What nature? The sin nature. Look at what Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Notice that Peter has to command that you desire the milk of the word. Now, a baby naturally desires milk, but a young Christian has to be commanded to desire it, to crave it, to long for it. And as a newborn baby craves pure milk, the believer is commanded to, because it is not necessarily natural. By the way, note verse 3. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is, what's the word? Gracious. As you find the Lord to be gracious, you want to reflect that graciousness, and you too want to become gracious. By the way, it says that the Lord is gracious, not grumpy, not grouchy, not cranky. What are some of the words that you use to describe older people? As you were growing up, how would you describe them? Grouchy, cranky. Somebody said something else. Crabby. This is one of those kind of step on your toes sermons, isn't it? Because it steps on my toes. Because the older you get, the more things hurt, the more things ache. Ooh. Paul chides believers for not growing as they should because they don't desire the milk of the word. You can look it up later, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Paul is saying in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, some of you people, you should be eating meat right now. As a believer, you should be eating meat and you're still on milk. 30 years later, you're still drinking milk as a Christian. When are you going to grow up? Why do Christians not grow up? Because they don't grow in grace. There is an alternative to becoming old and grouchy. It's to become old and graceful, full of grace. So we spent a lot of time on that, but there's the command. You should desire to grow because it's commanded. To grow in grace. And what's the number two thing there in 2 Peter chapter 3? To grow in knowledge. To grow in knowledge. But not just knowledge. You can go on the internet and grow in knowledge. You can learn all the wrong things on the internet. But you are to be growing, folks, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growth in grace goes hand in hand with growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the place that you think you know enough about God, you have ceased to grow old gracefully. For some people, that takes place when they're in their 20s. They think they've arrived. For some people, they think that's in their 60s, 70s. You never come to the place where you've arrived. Growing old gracefully is evident in the fact that you desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the first evidence. I said there's two, so here's the second evidence that you're growing old gracefully. Here it is. You desire to see others grow. You desire to see others grow. This will not be true if you yourself are not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you are growing in grace, you desire to see others grow. Two passages. First one is Psalm 71. Does that sound familiar to anybody here? Adult Bible class. Psalm 71. Adult Bible class. You desire to see others grow in two areas. Here's the first area. In what you show. In what you show. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Notice what he says there. Thou hast taught me, he says in verse 17, from my youth. This young psalmist had a relationship with God as a youth. Go back to verse 5 of the same psalm. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. From when? From my youth. When many are rebellious and mischievous, God was his trust as a young man. Verse 5. You see, when we're talking about growing old gracefully, this doesn't just apply to the old fogies here, folks. This applies to you younger ones. Because if you're not walking with God now, if he's not your trust in your youth, you're going to be an old grouch someday. You're going to be an old grump. You cannot grow gracefully if you don't have a relationship with God. God was his trust, verse 5. And verse 17, God was his teacher. And then verse 18, now also when I am old, forsake me not until I have showed. That's why I say you need to have a desire to see others grow in what you show. Until I have showed. The psalmist here expressed to God his motive that God, please don't forsake me until what? Please don't forsake me, God, until I have attained wealth. It's not what he says. Until I have become the mayor or the governor or the president, Lord, don't forsake. No, don't forsake me until I have showed. Until I have showed strength, your strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that is to come. His passion was to show God's strength and power. Secondly, you desire to see others grow not only in what you show, but in what you say. And here's where we go to Titus chapter 2, another passage that I have preached from. The second evidence you are growing old gracefully is when you desire to see others grow in what you say. Let me just read verses 1 through 8 of Titus chapter 2. Paul is speaking to Titus, and he says to Titus, he's a pastor, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now notice what he says in verse 4 about the aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober. So it's what they say. ladies, you older ladies, you should be involved in teaching the young women to be sober. You should be teaching them to love their husbands. You should be teaching them to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands. You can't teach that unless you are doing the same thing. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In what you say, the aged men should be exhorting young men. The aged women should be teaching the young women. The younger catch on more of what you say when they see it in your life. That's why I started with what you show. That's why Paul says to Titus, you need to be this way. This is what you need to be, you older men. This is what you need to be, you older women. Now you can teach them. Now you cannot just say to them, you can actually show by what you can say by what you show. I find that many, when they get old, pull back and let the younger take over. Have you noticed this too? In colleges, Christian colleges, the one who's been in leadership will all of a sudden pull back and say, I need to let the younger generation take over because I can't relate to this generation. Folks, it is not up to you to relate to this younger generation. It is up to the younger generation to relate to you. But too often we back off and say, well, it's time for somebody else to take over because I can't relate to them. That's their problem. They need to start relating to you. Sometimes it is the older person's problem. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But just when they need us most, we pull back. Just when the younger generation needs someone to show them by example what they need to do and what they need to know, you pull back. Why do you do this? Paul tells Timothy where the younger generation needs your help, and you see that in those verses that we just read. So to the older, I say this morning, don't hand the battle over to me while you're still alive. God has you here. Don't put it all off on me. And for those my age, this isn't the time to say, hey, I'm tired of working, I'm going to let the younger guys do this. This is what happens in churches. Let's let the younger people do this. No, show them what they're supposed to do. And lead them to do those things. Meanwhile, you younger need to realize something. It's harder for the older people to do some of the things physically. And you need to recognize it and jump in and help. Just like you would help an older person alongside of the road, you would stop and help them. That's what you need to do here at the church. Jump in there and help the older. So don't hand the battle over to me while you're still living, you older folks. I'll pick it up when you die. Joshua didn't take over until Moses, my servant, is dead. And this may seem kind of like, oh, you're talking about death. That's what it is. Folks, as long as God has you on this earth, you need to be involved in what he's called you to do. Today it would be, Joshua, Moses has retired. It's time for you young folks to do the work. I want to stop and say something that I made reference to just a few minutes ago. Just because you're older doesn't mean you have wisdom. And just because I'm older doesn't mean that I have all kinds of wisdom. I have found this, that the youth who grow up in a strong Christian home have more wisdom when they're older than those who grew up in a home that was not Christian. We tend to think, well, I need to respect everything my elders tell me. We ought to obey God rather than... That depends on what they're advising you. But if you find somebody who have, for all their life has been a Christian, and you find that they are growing old gracefully, they're full of grace, you had better listen to them. But just because somebody's old doesn't mean you should listen to them. I am sick and tired of hearing from Joe Biden. And he's old. I am sick and tired of listening from Nancy Pelosi. She's old. So just because somebody's old doesn't mean that they're wise. Elihu, you ever heard of him? He was the younger out of the four people who were trying to, air quotes, help Job. Once the previous three were done speaking, Elihu the younger speaks up in chapter 32 of Job. And he says, I thought it was best that I be quiet because you're my elders. But then he tears into those guys. He waited. Just because those men were older does not mean they were wise. Boy, sometimes some of the most useful idiots are old people. They did not help Job. I was reading what Leighton Talbert said in his book, Beyond Suffering. He said this, what compels Elihu to speak is not pride, but a persuasion. It is the Spirit of God that imparts insight and understanding, not age or experience alone. It is the Spirit of God. Folks, when somebody walks with God and they tell you something, you had better listen. But just because somebody is old and ancient does not mean that they know what they're talking about. So there's my disclaimer here. Job said this, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. But Elihu, he said that in 12:12, but here Elihu in chapter 32 gives us the other side. So if you think that the young should listen to you because of how old you are, that's pride. That's pride. But if you think that young people should listen to you because you have lived for the Lord all your life and you've got something you desire for them to know, that's commanded. There's a time in life when you get old, the people retire, put themselves on the shelf, and let the younger take over, and that same philosophy is transferred into the church. Well, it's time for me to get out of the way. No, it's time for you to get in the way, to obstruct immaturity, to obstruct unbiblical thinking. In both cases that Paul talks about here in Titus chapter 2, the aged men and the aged women, it's talking about what the aged should teach the younger. And the younger should hear it. Paul had actually admonished his other son in the faith, Timothy, never to rebuke an elder, someone older than he. But to the younger, do you ever read in the Bible where you are admonished not to rebuke, not to be rebuked by the elder? Question, when does parenting expire? It never expires. When does honor your father and your mother expire? In the Old Testament, children honored their parents all their lives. They listened to them and they obeyed them. But I've made an observation. Parents lately have adopted the thinking of their children rather than the children adopting the thinking of the parents. I see too many parents adopting unbiblical lifestyles and choices that their children are involved in because now they have to defend them out of pride's sake. Well, my son, man, he did this. Well, you know what? He's got a man bun, so I guess man buns are okay. And then we begin to defend things that we do it because of my grandchildren or my children. So when kids get out of the home, we're scared to express our dissatisfaction with them. Folks, that's when they need to hear from you. Not like the priest Eli, where God had to tell Eli, "Why do you honor your sons above me?" And God said this to Eli, "You, your sons have made themselves vile, and you did not restrain them." When? When his sons were priests, older. Growing old gracefully is evident in the fact that you desire to see others grow. I'm going to read this verse from Psalm 92 and then have one more comment and then close. Psalm 92:12. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Listen to this. "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." It's not talking about their physical. It's talking about spiritual. "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." That's Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. "Even in their old age, the older man and woman are still yielding fruit. They're still green spiritually. One who all his or her life grows in grace will grow old gracefully, both spiritually, and that spiritual will have it'll have an impact on the physical. One who all his life is growing old in grace will grow old gracefully. But it doesn't start when you're old, and it doesn't end when you're old. The command is, grow in grace. Are you growing old gracefully? Lord, may we take